Welcome to another episode of our podcast, 1,000 Years of Beer, live recorded here at the Brewery Museum in Weihenstephan, the world's oldest brewery. Hello from my side, Matthias, International Brand Ambassador and brewer here from Weihenstephan, and my co-host, Anton. Hey, how are you doing?
Good, how are you? Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to another episode with a topic that is very important to us, like all of our topics are, of course. But this one is special to us because it just released a new beer. And this is what we're talking about today. And with a guest that has been here and in actually, the first season.
Yes, we have a comeback of one of our guests, but also comeback of a special beer or from, let's say, a special brand in the brand. And so we have the Braupakt comeback. So 2018, we had the first Braupakt together with Sierra Nevada. And this year we're doing another Braupakt, which is with a different brewery. And it's a different beer, of course. But the label, the brand of the Braupakt, we are revitalizing with another collab project. And the other comeback is that our export director and VP of international sales, Markus Englert, is back to tell us more about Braupakt and what's all behind it, or Braupakt 2.0, or Braupakt Reloaded,
or Braupakt.
Braupakt, the story continues, or
the brewery strikes back.
No, yeah. Okay.
So. So, bottom line, welcome back, Markus.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You have been here in the first season, and you were talking about how export is doing and what you're doing and stories and all that around it. And
we can add one more story to it now.
We can add one more very, very special story to it, and that's the revival of the Braupakt. So for the ones who are not familiar with the German word Braupakt, it's a mix of two words, which is Brau, which means brewing, brewing, and Pakt means it's a pact, it's an agreement. And putting those two words together in German, it has more or less a meaning of brewing agreement or brewing alliance or...
I mean, we used that deliberately at the time because we were looking for theme words, mm-hmm. like for collab brews with two breweries, which is one beer brewed in Weihenstephan and the other beer brewed at the other brewery. So we were looking actually for a word which is covering this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my German colleagues from the marketing were not so happy about this name, but when you're traveling a lot and you need something like a phrase like this, foreigners love that. Especially Americans love that this anglicism of two words, which you wouldn't usually use in German language together. But I think it covers really exactly what we wanted to say with it. What you mentioned, the beer alliance or the brewing alliance of only two partners which are sitting together and talking in secret about a recipe or something like that. This was the background of it, just the two of them, no one else in the entire brew world, just the two of them sitting together and making this project. And
I now have a weird picture in my head because we always say in secret sitting together and designing a beer or whatever. Put that in open AI, in an AI picture generator. Yeah, like breweries sitting together in secret designing a beer recipe. How would that look like if open AI would generate such a pick? I would say sitting like here in a museum and with candlelight and
medieval times.
A whole lot of empty mugs beside you because everybody had a few.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
So let's get serious.
Let's stop that excursion to my head about open AI and AI generated pictures. Let's go back to the first Braupakt. So where did it start all? Maybe recap it a little bit for our listeners who were not or haven't had the first Braupakt in 2018.
The idea back then was brought to us by one of our importers, who is importing Weinstephan, but is also importing Sierra Nevada, our first collab partner at the Braupakt. And he talked to me and said, I've been in Sydney at the time, and he said, you know, I have my counterpart from Sierra Nevada here, and it would be so wonderful if you sit together and could talk about a possible collab. Mm. And I mean, the pioneers of craft beer brewing in the United States, in the new world, in the new brewing world, and I wouldn't be too, so exaggerated, but Weinstephan is one of the milestones of brewing history in the old world or in the entire world. I think I thought it's a good match, and it really fits together really good. And so we sat together, we talked to each other if either side wanted to make a collab with the other side. And so we said, well, yes, I think it's the right thing to do. And this is the background of the first Braupakt.
And I can imagine that a little bit because our importer in Australia, Life, he's a very social guy who can connect people very well together. So he welds together two people never met, and then you were sitting there. And how did he make that we now agreed on the color? What happened?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Was it a dream?
Yeah.
Next morning you wake up. Where's my wallet? Did we make an agreement on the
color? Yeah. So in 2018, when the beer was brewed, Anton and me weren't in the brewery yet. But funny enough, we were at the public relations event here at the brewery. So you worked for the local paper and were invited, and I was working for the university and was invited to be part of that. So and it was the brew day. So it was in January 2018.
Exactly.
It was the brew day where Scott Jennings, the brewmaster of Sierra Nevada, was here in Weinstephan, and where some medias and bloggers and other people, guys from TBS, from the importer in the United States, were there. And we were witnesses of the Braupakt beer, but it was brewed that time. So what beer did we make back then?
It was a wheat beer, actually. A wheat beer brewed with American hops. And that was a really special thing for Weinstephan at the time, because we never brewed with other hops than Hallertau hops before. And not even with other German hops, but really first time ever hops from the United States. And that was the bridge that we wanted to build between the German brewing styles of beer and American hops. So that was quite unique, and the result was really great. I mean, it was a beer, a Hefeweiss beer, which was not only banana, but also apricot and passion fruit. It was a really distinctive, different to our wheat beers that we brew. It had an American link, a US link in it.
And the collab at that time was also the idea of selling it as international as possible. So not just in the US and Germany or Australia, but as many countries as possible. And also part of the idea of the Braupakt 2018 was to do it like double linked, like brewing one special beer here and then one special beer with a different idea in the United States, right?
So this is the background. We will talk about that later on, but we had one international collab before that where we tried to brew the same beer, one in Weinstephan and one in the other brewery at the same time. But in this, with the Braupakt idea, it is that we are brewing a beer here in Weinstephan and the other brewery is brewing a different beer to a different time spot in the other country.
So about the first international collab we did was 2010 with Sam Adams, Boston Brewing, the so-called Infinium, which was a special beer, kind of a champagne style beer with a special yeast, where we tried to bring the same recipe in Weinstephan in Boston. But it wasn't labeled Braupakt at the time, and it was also our first big international collab project.
And Weinstefan, we were rookies. Yeah. Really, we didn't have a clue how this really works, a collab in this size and in this scale. Importance, in this scale. Yeah. And so we were the rookies at the time, and we learned a lot of out of this, because at this time, I think we tried to make beer, which is as complicated as possible.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, in the champagne bottle with special yeasts,
and high pressure fermentation,
hand filling. So everything what was really difficult, we tried to achieve.
Well, very ambitious project for the first time doing a collab.
Yeah.
So now,
okay, fast forward to
2024, basically.
Where we are not the rookies anymore. Obviously, when it comes to collabs. But as you told us, Marcus, which is super funny, how the tables changed, huh? That our actual partner is, when it comes to collaborations, not beer brewing. They're, when it comes to beer brewing, they are champions. But when it comes to doing a collab, they were then the rookies now, right?
Yeah.
And we were like the old guys who's doing this a few times, and Now we are here. So who is the partner?
The partner is Sin Bernardus from Belgium, from Watou in Flanders. And it's a very traditional Belgian brewery with iconic beers like the Abt 12, which is a quadruple beer, which you find in every liquor store in the world where you're going in. There is a up 12. Highest ratings at Beer Advocate and ratebeer.com, and a really good partner to work with. Not only because it's a good brewery, but they're also really good friends of us.
So where did you meet them first?
So coincidentally, we had the same importers in several countries that we export our beer to, in Spain, in the Netherlands, where else was it? Especially these two countries. And we met each other on trade shows and had on the communal stand, we had stands next to each other, and we were regularly also the last man standing when it was to go after a hard night out to bed. So we met each other several times, became friends, also visited each other on a private basis. And at one stage, they came to us and said, do you have an importer in Belgium? And we didn't have one. And we said, no. Belgian beer market for imported beers is very difficult because there are so many breweries around with the best quality, as well as the German market is difficult for other breweries to export to. But they asked us, can we import your beer then? It will be not a big volume, but we'd like to do it, and we can just say we import your beer and we have a lot of fun together. And so this is how it started, and it didn't take very much longer when a collab brew came up, because that's the next consequence out of such a close relation that you have.
So whose idea was it? So I assume was not initially St. Bernardus idea, because they never did it before. So I assume that the idea came out of a different corner.
Exactly. Our Spanish importer, who is a Belgian guy who emigrated 35, 40 years ago from Belgium to Spain, and is importing the who is who's of the iconic Belgian breweries, including St. Bernardus. And he was always, after the Sierra Nevada call-up, he was always pushing us and said, you know, that would be the perfect match for your next call-up brew, your next Braupark brew. And this is how it came, really. And in one stage, we said, okay, now we have to do it before people get retired.
He was just afraid that he retires before this comes.
Sure, as well. And he was really excited what will be the result out of a collab between the two. Because I think I don't say anything wrong when I say I think we are one of the two favorite breweries in his taste.
So, and the result out of this collaboration is a blonde ale. So just take us a little bit through the process then. Why didn't we make a quadruple, for example? Why is it a blonde ale?
I mean, you're looking for a beer style which is representing the countries of the two collab breweries. So it's a little bit like Weinsteffen is especially famous for its wheat beers, so top fermenting beers. And so we were looking for a beer style which is also top fermented in the collab. But you always want to have also the link to your partner brewery, because if you make another wheat beer, it wouldn't make very much sense, because then there's nothing from a Belgian beer philosophy included in that. And the most successful top fermented beer style in Belgium is a blonde ale. So this is quite quite common there, next to the Pilsners, of course, the Stella Artois, but we didn't want to go in this direction. And we wanted to have some kind of a special beer, but high drinkability. And so blonde ale was really the beer that we wanted to aim for.
How was the process in developing the beer? Because San Bernardo's came to Weinsteffen to taste it. How was the process there?
I mean, first of all, we decided which beer style it should be. That happened when me and our head brewer, Tobias Zollo, we visited San Bernardo's in March 2023, so exactly 1 year ago. We talked about the collab, we gave a little bit advice, because as Matthias said before, it was their first collab brew ever that they did. We were looking into a beer style that we wanted to do. We got a little bit closer, not only us, the salespeople who met each other on trade shows, but also the brewers, because brewers are always not so outgoing in general like the salespeople, and not getting so much in touch with each other. That link was done really easily as well. The point is, when we're doing a collab, we brew the beer that we do always according to the purity law from 1516. So that means a quadruple wouldn't have been possible, because you need a lot of sugar in production and to reach the high alcohol volumes. So this was also nothing that we wanted to achieve, because we wanted to have high drinkability, we wanted to have a good beer to produce, not too complicated. And that was the background.
So how was the technical development of the beer? So you decided on the style and in which kind of direction you should go taste-wise. So how was the next steps?
Long story short, so the brewers, the brewmasters, were in really heavy exchange. So they exchanged ideas. And of course, as the taste profile of a Belgian blonde beer, we didn't want to do a copy of a Belgian blonde ale, but do an homage on a Belgian blonde ale. Mm-hmm. And so they were exchanging ideas how to get into that taste profile, aroma profile of a Belgian blonde with a link to a Bavarian wheat beer. And so they exchanged a lot of ideas. Then we made some test batches, and when the test batches were ready to try, the team of Sierra Nevada came to Weinsteffen.
Of St. Bernardo's.
St. Bernardo's, what did I say?
Sierra Nevada. Yeah.
So no, the team from St. Bernardo's came to us, and we tasted beers, saw in which direction we want to go, and from that on, our brewers took over again and realized the project. So you can say from the first discussions to the realization, it was 1 year.
So when we talk about the taste profile of the beer and how it came to life, we were talking about just a little thing on the technical side. We were talking about being more on the spicy side and not
fruity, banana-ish.
Yeah, we didn't want the banana in the beer. We wanted it to be on the close
side. Or the tropical fruits or whatever.
So how did we do that from the technical side? Because we usually when we use our yeast, like we did here too, we develop this banana taste. How did we manage to get that out of the beer?
So more or less, we put the yeast under more pressure that it didn't produce the banana aromas.
Under pressure.
Yeah, I mean, usually we don't use so much pressure in our fermentation tank.
Normally pressure less.
Yeah, yeah.
And because pressure would inhibit the creation of isomyl acetate, so which is the main fruity flavor of this banana taste. So if we add a little bit of pressure to the tank, we can decrease that. And we worked, as you told me before, with some special hops to create also this kind of spicy or delicate flavor we have, which is also famous for this Belgian beers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, as we did it with Sierra Nevada at the time, we used also first time ever some special hops that we never had before. Mm-hmm. So one is Hull Melon, and the other one is Hallertau Blanc. But then on top of this, also again to have the red line with the cooperation with San Bernardos, we used East Kent Golding, which is a hop which is grown right in front of the brewery of San Bernardos in Vatou. And so with this three different kind of hops, when we had the tasting and we went into the decision making of the beer, we blended quite a lot of hops together till we found the right composition to it. And I think this is really good how we achieved to get this aroma profile of a Belgian blonde ale without using a Belgian yeast, which is also very special.
Yeah, that's something I'm always fascinated about, because how brewing is so strongly influenced by knowledge and process technology. So how you can adapt the process with raw materials, with mashing temperatures, with pressure at the fermentation, and still get a very different beer, or still can trigger a different kind of taste or flavor compounds to create a beer. And this is the fascinating thing about it, that you try to control as much as possible as a brewer. So it makes so much sense, or for me, it always makes so much sense. That's the reason why when you're getting educated as a brewer, brewmaster, brewing engineer, all the mechanical engineering, all the chemistry, all the biology, all this together, because you need it to control as much as possible the process, to have at first an abstract idea of a taste, and then you try to be innovative and creative with that what you have, how to get there in the end, to have then a beer that tastes what you wanted to achieve.
Ingredients are not everything, so it's the ingredients. It's also but it's also the process.
Absolutely, know your material, know your tanks, your brew house, your yeast, know how your filling and packaging department works. You need to use the tools you have, and you need to know them very, very well. And you need to know how the beer or the yeast or the raw materials will react if you put them under pressure or do a special mashing, so that you can create more ferulic acid, which is the base ingredient for this phenolic taste. So without ferulic acid, you don't get this phenolic, spicy, delicate taste that you have, like the cloves flavor in the wheat beers, but also the spiciness in this Belgian beers. And if you don't have that ferulic acid or not a special amount of it, you will not create it. And this is the things you need to know, and then you can control them.
That's fascinating. Brewmasters are wizards, really, because they they know their thing. And I thought we might have batches to get to the result that we achieved, but I think it was more or less first trial, and we were already there where we wanted to be.
Yeah.
And this is really chapeau to our brewers.
Yeah, and this is you need a good education, but also the experience you get over the practice working for years and decades, and put this all together with the right resources and the right team and the right background and good technology, and you can achieve that. And yeah, I think Tobias will be very pleased to hear that he is now officially the Gandalf of Weinstein. A brewmaster does not arrive late. He comes just in time.
And the gray hair is also there. So,
I mean, hard facts about the beer. I mean, it's,
yeah,
it has
some hard facts. Yeah. So next to the
6.5% alcohol, that with a high drinkability of the beer. So
yeah, I tested it. It's very dry. So it's
dry,
very drinkable.
Slim body. High drinkability, but the spiciness amazes me as well. So it's,
but it has it also has a light fruity touch to like some subtle notes of pear.
Yeah, exactly. It's not super dry, but also, you know, with that slim body, it's so drinkable that you don't really feel the 6.5% alcohol, in my opinion.
And I guess that's also a wine Stefan thing to do, creating higher ABV beers that you don't taste that they have that kind of
Vitus.
ABV, hashtag Vitus. Yeah.
And still being balanced.
Yeah, that's right. Balance is everything. Mm.
So if you look at the bottle of Braupakt, you see that there's a special label on it. So we don't, obviously we don't use the same label we used 6 years ago. But the thing is that it shows two monks. It shows St. Bernardus and it shows St. Corbinian, which are two very important characters to the respective histories of the breweries. We're always trying, just to explain a little bit more about the label, we're always trying to put different aspects or to combine different aspects of the breweries together on the label. So back then with Sierra Nevada, it was the bear. The bear was the animal of California, and it's also the animal of Freising, of the city of Freising, and that came together on the label. And now we have in common that there's two very, very important monks for each brewery. And so we tried to have that on the label, and now they're prosting to each other on the label.
I think the bear was carrying two vessels, one branded Weinstefan and one branded Sierra Nevada at the time, or the Braupakt one. And now we have also in front of the brewery two monks, St. Corbinian and St. Bernard, toasting to each other.
Yeah.
So there is a red line, but, you know, of course, dedication to the other collaborating brewery.
Yeah.
So that's what we wanted to have. And things that are very important in the DNA of both breweries.
Yeah.
Our saints.
So that's why we're trying to put an emphasis on you know, history we share, basically.
Yeah.
And that's how the label, and thanks to Ludovica, who designed the label, which is also in a little bit of a comic style, you could say, because that's where the inspiration is actually from San Bernardos, who have their monk on every label.
Yeah.
And we have it on our Corbinian. But now our Corbinian is also in a little bit of a comic style on this label. So we have the inspiration that was actually by San Bernardos to have that in that style on the label. And yeah, so... Marcus, famous question now. Where do you get it? Where do you get our Braupakt?
So, I mean, especially in export. So I wouldn't say it's a beer for the export, but collaboration brews are much more common in other countries, in different foreign countries than in Germany. So in Germany, you hardly get any collab brews, especially in between the German breweries, because... I think we didn't understand here in Germany that the rising tide lifts all boats. That means with such a product, with such a beer project, we can really, everyone wins. So the breweries win because I think they get a nicer connotation with, oh my God, they cannot do only their regular beers in their portfolio, but they can also try some a little bit more weird one. And, of course, for the consumer, because the consumer also can try and say, I didn't think that Weinstephan can do a Belgian beer style with a German background.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So we exported to 28 countries. Of course, outside of Europe, United States, Australia, and Japan are the three major countries. And in Europe, it's France and the Netherlands. Yeah. But you can also get it in Germany, of course.
Yes, you can get it in Germany starting... well, it started the last few weeks when this podcast releases. So be on the lookout for our new Braupakt. You can already get it definitely here at the brewery and in various locations here in Freising. And yeah, so Matthias, I think it's time for the community corner.
Yes, because we have a new category in our monthly upcoming episodes. And it's the community corner because we hope you send us emails on feedback on what we did good or not good or what you want to know or if you have any questions or wishes for coming upcoming topics or whatever. So, and we try to answer all of them as soon as possible with a direct email or note or message, or we talk about the tea in the podcast. So if you have any questions or want to reach out to us in any topic or issue, put it on podcast@weinstephaner.de or write us on Facebook or Instagram. We have a few community messages. So the first is from Aram. He wrote us from Massachusetts, and he had a few questions, and maybe one is for you, Marcus, which might be interesting. So he was writing us an email about the podcast, and yeah, so he's a fan of the beers, and he has two specified questions for us, and the one is if there is maybe something coming up as a beer style, and he understands that we are producing German styles only, but if there is maybe something coming like a New England IPA, which is also one of his maybe favorite styles. And yeah, I guess that's the reason why we put that question here in this podcast. Never say never. Maybe a New England IPA will be never being a style that we would be putting in our standard portfolio because they are exclusively for Bavarian traditional styles. But maybe one day we do a collab with someone where is a New England IPA possible beer. Or what do you say, Marcus?
I think if we would have said that's never possible, we wouldn't have produced the beers that we already did. So,
yeah.
So there's definitely not never...
We don't do that
never,
here.
Ever.
We don't say
no,
never.
No, yeah. That's true. Because this is, I think, world's oldest brewery, but still curious about other styles and curious about the developing beer world. So, as you said it right, everything is possible.
Yeah. So maybe one day there's the right situation, the right time, the right place where we are brewing a New England IPA with someone or alone. We don't know.
Especially like a collab, probably.
It makes it the most potential. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm a big fan of New England IPAs as a style, so I really like them. So, yeah, never say never. The other question from Aram was because he recently developed, saw recently that we now have Helles in cans and Hefeweizen in cans in the United States, and he was pretty happy about it because he is now more flexible when it comes to packaging, and also it's a good packaging for beer because it's prevent the influence of light on the aging of the beer, which is for export an interesting thing. And he was asking if there are also maybe coming cans in the future for beers like Vitus or Dunkelhefe.
I mean, this is also something...
Never say never.
What people told us, when people would have told us 10 years ago, you will have cans soon, I'd said, cans are not popular in Germany at all. They have rather a bad reputation because in former times, the beer was really pasteurized to the ground when it was in cans here. Plus, we have now a very difficult deposit for one-way cans and one-way containers. So that was something. But our American importer came to us and said, "You can, you know, we can open so many more areas. You know, sports events, beaches, pools, and being present there is important. And you get a really good visibility with the branding on the cans." So. We started with two of our main products, our beers, the Hefeweiss and lager style beer. And yeah, if the volume is right and that it makes sense to produce cans in with different SKUs or different beer styles, why not? So also here, the future is wide and bright. So
not planned for the near future, but never say never.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thanks for your question, Aram. I hope it will be answered as you hoped. And yeah, thanks for listening to our podcast and thanks for drinking our beers. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. The next email comes from Ray, and he wrote us from Japan. And Ray was asking very specific and interesting questions. They are going very deep into the wheat beer taste categories, because one very famous professor here in the university, Professor Werner Back, was at some point defining four different type of wheat beer flavors, and he is philosophing about the categorization of those. And he, we are asking some very specific questions. We just wanted to say to Ray, thank you very much for your questions and also for those detailed questions. We really appreciate it. And I promise you, we'll bring this up and put it up in our next podcast with Florian Lienhardt, our sensory expert from the university, as we call him, Dr. Taste. And we will bring him up these questions, and I'm pretty sure he will definitely answer them then in the next episode on sensory analysis. So we will talk about that. Great question, great input. Thank you so much. And he wrote us also he would love to have a pack of those flavor wheel coasters, and I think Anton will take care of it. Yes, so this is from the community corner. Thank you so much for your questions. So please send them out to us, Instagram, Facebook, or podcast at winestefanat.de. And keep listening, keep drinking. Stay safe.
Keep drinking a good beer.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening in, everybody.
And thanks for you, Marcus, that you take the time. I've been here today.
More than a pleasure, and hope to see you outside there at one stage.
Keep your eyes open. So Marcus will be in Australia in May. End of May in different cities, different events. So go online, WineStefan Australia. There's an own Instagram account on that. I'm pretty sure they will publish the dates and locations where you will be present.
And of course, United States.
Where we are going to be buddy travels again.
That's true.
So we will be, all over the United States. Also in April and May, Marcus will be in the Midwest. And on the west side, on the west coast, so LA, so Chicago.
Chicago, LA.
And Las Vegas, around the craft beer conference of the Brewers Association. There will be also several Braupakt events, and also some events in, Wurstküche in LA.
Wurstküche, the downtown location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Bavarian Lodge,
In
Chicago.
In Chicago. Yeah.
And you will see me, if you have the time and the motivation to do that so. You can be at some events in New York City on the 20th April. There will be an event in New York at
Radegast,
right? Sorry. Thank you very much. At Radegast. Really looking forward to that. At events at the two Dacha places in Washington, D.C. We will be in Brauhaus Schmitz in Philadelphia and also in Boston again. So, shipping up to Boston again. Amazing. So we'll have a pretty good tour.
Spreading the word of the Braupakt.
Yes. So, and there also will be events of our local importers all over the place. So there already have been some in Belgium and the Netherlands. There will be some upcoming in Spain. So I'm pretty sure you will find your piece of product if you
And if you want to see me, of course, I will be handing out petitions for you to sign that I will be able to join them. So please sign them and let them know. No, I'm just kidding.
Send them at noway@winestefanet.de.
Is the abbreviation nope?
Nope.
Well,
no.
All right, I got the message.
We try our best to include you. However.
All right.
Yeah, we tag you in our Instagram stories, and you can share them on your private profile if you
Perfect.
Want.
Perfect. I will think of that when you guys are in Los Angeles at the beach. I will think of that while I'm sitting in the rain in Germany. All right. Thank you very much for listening in, and I hope you guys had a little bit of fun, and we could give you an idea of how our new Braupakt tastes, was made, and yeah, then. Let's just say prost, try it when you see it, and have fun drinking the good beer.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
All the best.